Christmas is coming, and that gets us in the spirit to have our hearts prepared for Christmas. Thank you for being here today, and I always like to share a little humor at the beginning to get you ready to hear more important things. Did we have any folks to go shopping this past Friday? Were there any shoppers on Friday? Okay, two people out of this whole crowd went shopping Friday. Crazy enough, we did a little shopping on Friday too, and you know, I was in this one store, and I guess I was going the wrong way down an aisle, and this man came running at me screaming. He said, "Didn't you see the arrows?" And I went, "I didn't see the Indians." I didn't even see the Indians. Anyway, I appreciate your kindness. Thank you for the grace you've shown me today. I hope you did have a good and blessed Thanksgiving with family and friends, and as sweet and as great as it was for many of us, for others, it was very difficult. You know, the holidays can be one of the most difficult, lonely, and depressing times throughout the year. And the reason is because this may be the first holiday without one of your loved ones that's gone on to be with the Lord. It's possible that their spot was empty at the table this past Thanksgiving. Maybe it's a difficult time because you have a son or a daughter, a family member that serves in the military, and they're stationed hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away, and you miss seeing them during the holiday season. It's possible that you're a single person and or a single parent, and holidays can be a very difficult time. I shared at the early service, I've told my wife, before we got married, when I was single, I hated going to the mall or shopping during the holiday season because you would see all these people holding hands and loving on each other. And so when we were shopping on Friday with Kelly and my girls, I held Kelly's hand and we were kind of loving on each other. And my youngest daughter, Ann Catherine, said, "PDA, ah." And I said, because for years I was single, and I so am grateful that I have someone that I can share that love with. And so, but it can be a very lonely time for single parents, single people, maybe senior adults can be very lonely during the holiday season. I'm so grateful our Grief Share ministry just did a Surviving the Holidays session to help folks who have lost loved ones get through a very challenging and difficult time. And whatever season you're in right now, I know sometimes we can experience loneliness. Even Albert Einstein once said that it was strange, he said, to be known so universally, but yet to be so lonely. And then Dr. David Jeremiah said in his book, Overcoming Loneliness, he said, loneliness is the disease of the decade. He said, perhaps all of the decades between the middle of the 20th and late 20th century. And so loneliness is a real problem. In our scripture today, we see Paul, who is in a cold, dark Roman prison or dungeon, an old cistern or a well, where we saw him recently as we shared out of 2 Timothy. He's there because of his faith and message in Christ. Paul's being persecuted. A couple of the reasons Paul wrote his son in the ministry, Timothy, first, he was lonely. Paul was lonely. This was the last stop on the way to execution. This is death row, where Paul is in this cold, dark, damp cistern well, this prison. And so he was lonely. So he was writing Timothy and wanting him to come because he was lonely. Another reason, Emperor Nero was in control, and Paul was writing Timothy in the church at Ephesus, encouraging them to guard the gospel, to keep preaching the gospel, and if necessary, to die for the gospel. So he was trying to encourage them, persevere in it. You keep on keeping on, even when you feel like giving up or quitting. But in this beautiful story, I think it speaks to you and me. Because in this story, Paul was wanting them to come because winter was coming. Yes, winter was coming as far as a change in the weather, but he was in the winter season of his life. And there were some things that Paul was wanting as he was nearing the end. He was at the end of his life. You know, it's amazing all the years that I've gone to meet with people maybe that are nearing the end of their journey called life. It's an eye-opener to see what's really important and to get things in proper perspective. So many things that we used to worry and fret about, as my dad used to say, now don't amount to a hill of beans. It really puts things in perspective when you think that life is over so quickly. I share it all the time, James 4:14. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life but a vapor or a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes? So if we are here today and we are nearing winter time, yes, winter weather, but maybe even to the winter season of the journey of life coming to a close, there are some things I think that we need to prepare us or to help us through this challenging time. First thing we need are friends or family. Look in verse 9. Paul said to Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he has loved this world, has deserted me. And Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. And so we see that some of his friends had left him. One being Demas, because he loved this world. Why did Demas desert Paul? Maybe because he preferred a life of comfort and carrying the cross became too challenging for him. Maybe to deny himself and to take up his cross daily and follow Christ was no longer appealing to him, but the world was sure appealing. I said at the early service, sometimes when we're growing in the Lord, we will lose friends because we make people uncomfortable when we are trying to live a godly life. It's a lot easier to live a worldly life because everybody will accept you. But if you're trying to live a life for Jesus Christ, you can expect to be deserted. And that's exactly what was happening to Paul. Demas, because he loved the world, and Crescens left, and Titus left. And he said, only Luke is with. Now, get Mark. When he was nearing this season of his life, he wanted his friends to endure this winter season. And you know, I think back when we'd have wintry weather, I loved having friends over to my house, whether it was to watch movies or to go sledding or tubing or to you know, just have snowball fight, whatever it was. And I've told y'all before, my couple of my older brothers and I, we would make a radio station during a winter storm. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, explain to your children or your grandchildren what a cassette tape player is. We would have a cassette player, and there we would make recordings pretending we were radio DJs. I remember vividly making station WCOW, Cal. and we had Cal radio station. And I remember my brother Tim playing his guitar and turning on the vacuum, saying, "I love my wife like a vacuum sweeper because she sweeps me off my feet." I remember we would call people and ask them a trivia question, like how many heads are on a totem pole, and they'd say, "I don't know, what is a totem pole?" And then if they got the answer right, we would drop pennies into a empty Pringles can where ting, 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 you know. So now I'm giving you all some thoughts of what you can do. You've got cell phones now, but that we were just enjoying being together, making the best of a bad or difficult situation. And you know, something else I've noticed when people are in the winter season of their life, I'm not just talking about weather, I'm talking about drawing near to the end. And all the years of being with people at that time, and I've had the humble privilege and the difficult task of being with a lot of people as they're getting ready to make that transition. And through all the years, I've never heard anybody say, go get all my diplomas and degrees. I want to look at them to see how educated I am. Never once have I had anybody say, go get my bank statement. I want to make sure of how much money I've got left in the bank. They've never said, go get my checkbook. I want to make sure my checkbook balances. Drive my shiny car up to the window so I can get one last good look at my car. No one's ever said that. You know what they've wanted? They've wanted their friends and their family at their bedside. That's what they've wanted. When they come to the end, they want to be surrounded by people that love them and that care for them. And I think about Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 18:24. But there is a friend that will stick closer than a brother. And we like to use that passage referring to Jesus Christ. There is a friend who will stick closer than a brother. Just this past Wednesday, I had the honor and the difficult task of preaching a funeral for one of our members, Glenn Bottoms. Before preaching that funeral, I had one of our members, Larry Taylor, to share with me that Glenn was like a brother to him. He said he was like a big brother. He said he was such a good soul. And when he found out that Glenn was nearing the end and he was in the winter season of his life, he went to visit Glenn. And he said, "Todd, I was able to say, I love you, brother." And I was able to kiss him on the forehead and tell him what he meant to me. 20 minutes later, Glenn would pass from this old world into his eternal life. And I'm just so grateful that we have a wonderful church family, that I've had so many people to say, I don't know what I would do without my Christian friends and my church family. That's why we all need a church family. We all need Christian friends. Did you know that I pray for our three children, every day? And I don't even know, Kelly, if you know this. I pray that our children will be blessed with some faithful Christian friends who will be loyal, who will be honest, that'll be people of integrity, that will support my children as they grow in the Lord and not try to pull them away from the Lord. We all need to pray for Christian friendships, both not only for our children, but we need them too, don't we? I mean, we need that love and support and encouragement that we're all trying to live the same kind of life. But what a mixed signal it sends when we're living this way part of the time and living this way part of the time. It confuses people. We have to choose this day whom we will serve. And I pray we'll serve the Lord. But so Paul, as he was in that old prison and that Mamertine dungeon, he was wanting his friends and family, but then he was asking for a favor. He says in the first part of verse 13, he said, and when you come, he was assuming Timothy was going to come. And when you come, bring my cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. And when you come, bring my cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. A cloak was a heavy, sleeveless outer garment, circular in shape, that had a hole in the middle, much like a poncho, that would come down over someone's head. Being thick would be to keep him warm. And so you say, well, why did he leave it with Carpus at Troas? Well, we see the humanness of Paul. He was human. He probably forgot it. We've got a welcome center lost and found out there with sweaters and glasses and Bibles and phones and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. We have all these things where people have left them. Paul, probably, you've left your coat, you've left your hat, you've left your gloves. And so Paul left his cloak. But now with winter weather approaching, he needed his coat. And so maybe you're here today, and now I'm not talking about winter weather, but maybe you are going through some winds of doubt in your life and some winds of trouble and maybe some storms of fear and pain and uncertainty. And what you need is a spiritual coat. Do you have a spiritual coat? You can't order this online. You can't get it at Macy's or Dillard's or JCPenney's or Kohl's or TJ Maxx or Target or you name your favorite store. Amazon. You can't get it there. That's right. You can't. This coat, that was beautiful. This coat you can only get through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You look in Romans 13, 14, Paul said to clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the sinful or the fleshly nature. Do you hear that? Clothe yourself. When we accept Christ, then his love and warmth will be evident on the outside, what we have on the inside. And then Paul said the Holy Spirit helps warm us with the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you know them, say them with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are to clothe ourselves. When Paul says you have spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6:13, he said, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand. And when you've done everything to stand, we clothe ourselves with these type of garments, coats, if you will, because the day of evil is coming. We have to be ready to stand when we've done everything to stand. But I've noticed when it says, you know, for a favor, I've also had the privilege and being on the inside to see some of the requests of people before crossing over into their eternal life. I've had people to say, and I've felt so unworthy to be there to hear them in those times, but they've said to their son or their daughter, I'm praying you're going to come to know Christ. I hope that you and your brother or sister will forgive each other. I hope that the family will stay together. I pray that you will read the Bible and pray. I've heard people say, take care of my dog. Take care of mama. Take care of daddy. You make sure the family goes to church. I had two different people years ago that one was Ward Young. Do any of y'all remember Ward and Betty Young? They were such sweet people, Ward and Betty Young. And I had the privilege of being beside Ward before he passed. And one of the things Ward told me as a favor, he said, "Todd, take care of Killy." And I said, I'll do my best, Ward. He goes, "Will you take care of Killy? That's my wife." And I said, "I'll do my best." Fast forward a couple years, I went to be by the bedside of Larry Jeffries. This was the late husband of Joy Jeffries, who was a pastor for over 50-some years. And Larry's words to me, as he looked right to me, he said, "Todd, you be good to Killy." What I want to know, Killy, what had you been telling people? I promise you they said that. And it touched my heart that I try to take care of Killy. And I want to be good to Killy. And really, I want all of us to be good to each other. So many families are divided. So many families are divided at the funeral home, at the cemetery, or they don't even go. And my prayer is that we, like Paul, would want the warmth of his friends and family. He wanted his coat. He was asking for a favor. When you come, and you're coming, Timothy, I know you will, bring my cloak. And then in the second part of verse 13, he said, and bring my scrolls and especially my parchments. Lastly, what we need as we go into the winter season is faith. We need our faith. And when he said, bring my scrolls, that's probably were early writings of the Gospels. And then when he said, bring the parchments, that was the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. That when he was awaiting his execution for the cause of Christ, he wanted God's word. He wanted to be comforted by the word of God. And I think about Hebrews 4:12, when it says the word of God is living and active. And when we read God's word, it penetrates the heart and it's sharper than a double-edged sword. And through the years, I've witnessed and I've participated in when people have been going from this life into their eternal life and they've wanted God's word read to them. And I've shared scripture with people. And I've played and even been a part of singing hymns of faith as they slipped into glory. And that's such an intimate, special time that people want to be surrounded by faith in Christ. And I think about Paul, who certainly had faith, and we just shared this recently out of 2 Timothy 4:7-8, when he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. And I think about it when he said in verse 21, do your best to come before winter. Do your best to get here before winter. It's coming, and it's going to be too late. I would like to share with you the same plea that Paul had is the same plea I have and the same plea the Lord has. Come give your life to Christ. Come before winter. Come and be baptized. Come before winter. Come and make a wrong right. Come before winter. Come and tell somebody you love them. Come before winter. Come and tell someone I forgive you. You come before winter. come and join a warm, loving church family. You come before winter. Come and get your house in order. Come before winter. One day it's going to be too late. The plea was urgent. Come quickly. Come before winter. Are you prepared? Are you prepared today for what's ahead? I pray we would all be ready. We would all be prepared. If you don't know Christ today, what are you waiting for? Quit putting it off. Give your life to Him today. Maybe you're a Christian and your faith has grown cold and you become bitter and you were hurt, you were disenchanted. Come back home today and renew your faith in Christ. I promise you, He will never let you down. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. Man, I love this church. We are not perfect. I'm not perfect. But He is. And as long as you're keeping your eyes on Jesus, you can't go wrong. There's no faith in Christ. Won't you come today? Come before winter is the invitation as we pray together. Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are any men or women or young people here today and they've never invited Jesus Christ to come into their heart to be their Lord and Savior, may this be the day of salvation for someone. Would someone be willing to pray a prayer in their own words to get them started on this journey to say, "Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you, God, for saving me. I love you, Jesus." Lord, maybe there are Christians who not been the same since they lost a loved one, since that family member hurt them with their words or their actions. And Lord, I pray today that Christians would come and renew their vow of commitment and Father, get on fire for you once again. Warm their heart, their spirit, their life. And never be ashamed to stand for Jesus, who wasn't ashamed to die on the cross for us. Well, Lord, maybe folks are looking to be a part of a storm shelter, a field hospital for the sin, sick, and hurting, and they're looking for a loving and warm Christian family, a church family. Lord, I pray today you would lead some people that have been putting off, or people saying, "Let's wait for this, let's wait for that." Lord, I pray they would come before winter so we can love and support and encourage one another and live out our faith together. So, Father, I pray, however your Holy Spirit leads, that someone would be willing to come to you, the Father, just as they are, to give our all to you, to give our sin, our past, our pride, our guilt, our anger, our unforgiveness, our addiction, our struggle, whatever it may be, we would give it fully surrendered to you. We'll just thank you and praise you for your grace. Your grace is enough to cover us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand at this time and come as we sing this beautiful chorus, "Father, I Adore You." Won't you come?
Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. I adore you.